In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Now the earth was formless and empty. Darkness was over the surface of the deep, and the Spirit of God was hovering over the waters.
In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. Through him all things were made. With him nothing was made that has been made.
And God said, "Let there be light." And there was light. God saw that the light was good.
In him was light, and that light was the light of all mankind.
And he separated the light from the darkness. God called the light day, and the darkness he called night.
The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it.
Let's stand and sing Holy, Holy, Holy.
Would you pray with me this evening? Blessed Father, gracious Son, Holy Spirit, our eternal light, we pray that you would grace us with your presence during this hour. We pray that during our worship, your light would further penetrate our darkness into spaces and thoughts that have before now remained shrouded. We pray for this for the sake of your kingdom, your glory, and your salvation. Amen. We want to welcome you tonight to our Maundy Thursday service during this Holy Week. One of the liberating joys of worship is that worship brings us together with 2 millennia of believers who came week after week, as we do tonight, expressing their gratitude for God's salvation, as well as their need of God's extension of mercy, love, and forgiveness. As a confession of both our contribution and our desire, let us join our spirits with the saints of ages past and sing Grace Greater Than Our Sin together this Maundy Thursday evening.
Let's stand.
Yonder on Calvary's mount.
seated.
Who will bring any charge against those whom God has chosen? It is God who justifies. Who then is the one who condemns? No one. Christ Jesus, who died, more than that, he was raised to life, is at the right hand of God and is also interceding for us. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? For I am convinced that neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither the present nor the future, nor any powers, neither height nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord.
Hundreds of years before by the prophet Isaiah, Isaiah chapter 42, reading verses 1 through 9. Here is my servant whom I uphold, my chosen one in whom I delight. I will put my spirit on him, and he will bring justice to the nations. He will not shout or cry out or raise his voice in the streets. A bruised reed he will not break, and a smoldering wick he will not snuff out. In faithfulness he will bring forth justice. He will not falter or be discouraged till he establishes justice on earth. In his teaching the islands will put their hope. This is what God the Lord says. The creator of the heavens, who stretches them out, who spreads out the earth with all that springs from it, who gives breath to its people and life to those who walk on it. I, the Lord, have called you in righteousness. I will take hold of your hand. I will keep you and make you to be a covenant for the people and a light for the Gentiles, to open eyes that are blind, to free captives from prison, and to release from the dungeon those who sit in darkness. I am the Lord, that is my name. I will not yield my glory to another or my praise to idols. See, the former things have taken place, and new things I declare. Before they spring into being, I announce them to you.
The Lord calls us in righteousness.
Lord, teach us the way.
Lord, hear my prayer. Listen to my cry for mercy. In your faithfulness and righteousness, come to my relief. Do not bring your servant into judgment, for no one living is righteous before you. The enemy pursues me. He crushes me to the ground. He makes me dwell in the darkness like those long dead. So my spirit grows faint within me. My heart within me is dismayed. I remember the days of long ago. I meditate on all your works and consider what your hands have done. I spread out my hands to you. I thirst for you like a parched land. Answer me quickly, Lord. My spirit fails. Do not hide your face from me, or I will be like those who go down to the pit. Let the morning bring me word of your unfailing love, for I have put my trust in you. Show me the way I should go, for to you I entrust my life. Rescue me from my enemies, Lord, for I hide myself in you. Teach me to do your will, for you are my God. May your good spirit lead me on level ground. For your name's sake, Lord, preserve my life. In your righteousness, bring me out of trouble. In your unfailing love, silence my enemies. Destroy all my foes, for I am your servant.
Lord, our spirit grows weak and faint.
Revive us that we may serve you.
For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him. Whoever believes in him is not condemned, but whoever does not believe stands condemned already, because they have not believed in the name of God's one and only Son. This is the verdict. Light has come into the world, but people love darkness instead of light, because their deeds were evil. Everyone who does evil hates the light and will not come into the light for fear that their deeds will be exposed. But whoever lives by the truth comes into the light, so that it may be seen plainly that what they have done has been done in the sight of God.
Lord, teach us the deeds of light,
that we may do our deed in God.
Let's stand and sing, Great is Thy Faithfulness. Be seated.
The anointing, reading from Matthew 26, verses 6 through 13. While Jesus was in Bethany, in the home of Simon the leper, a woman came to him with an alabaster jar of very expensive perfume, which she poured on his head as he was reclining at the table. When the disciples saw this, they were indignant. Why this waste? They asked. This perfume could have been sold at a high price and the money given to the poor. Aware of this, Jesus said to them, why are you bothering this woman? She has done a beautiful thing to me. The poor you will always have with you, but you will not always have me. When she poured this perfume on my body, she did it to prepare me for burial. Truly, I tell you, wherever the gospel is preached throughout the world, what she has done will also be told in memory of her. God's first act after creating the heavens and the earth was to bring light. The prophets prophesied that God was going to send a light to the Gentiles, and Jesus came as the light of the world. When the woman of Bethany anointed Jesus' head, she offered a humble service to the light that was soon to be extinguished. We are called to perform the deeds of the light. During this worship, one such service is to offer prayers for those whose light in life is precarious or will soon die. With the oil of God's Holy Spirit, let us jointly anoint these ones tonight. As we pray together responsively, let us imagine ourselves each with our own bottle of anointed oil, touching those for whom we are praying, or perhaps even signing their foreheads with the sign of the cross. Many of these intercessions will apply to persons in our own lives, to persons in our own congregations, and definitely persons in our community.
Please join with us in the responsive reading as shown on the screen. For all leaders of politically troubled countries,
we anoint each one with God's spirit of justice and light.
For all families who suffer from political oppression,
we anoint each one with God's spirit of hope and light.
For all those whose soul is being extinguished by the drugs of power and greed,
we anoint each one with God's spirit of repentance and light.
For all those who are dying of terminal illnesses,
we anoint each one with your spirit of comfort and light.
For all those who are now saying goodbye to a beloved friend or family member,
we anoint each one with God's spirit of presence and light.
For all those who see suicide as the only solution to their troubles,
we anoint each one with God's spirit of hope and pray God to fan a flame of light.
For all those who are being consumed by poverty,
we anoint each one with God's spirit of comfort and light of protection.
For all those who are living lives of quiet desperation,
we anoint each one with God's healing spirit of peace and light.
Let's stand and sing How Great Thou Art.
Gospel of John, chapter 13, verses 1 through 7. It was just before the Passover festival. Jesus knew that his hour had come for him to leave this world and go to the Father. Having loved his own who were in the world, he loved them to the end. The evening meal was in progress, and the devil had already prompted Judas, the son of Simon Iscariot, to betray Jesus. Jesus knew that the Father had put all things under his power, and that he had come from God and was returning to God. So he got up from the meal, took off his outer clothing, and wrapped a towel around his waist. After that, he poured water into a basin and began to wash his disciples' feet, drying them with the towel that was wrapped around him. He came to Simon Peter, who said to him, "Lord, are you going to wash my feet?" Jesus replied, "You do not realize now what I'm doing, but later you will understand." One of Jesus' last messages taught by this powerful example was that those of us who choose to follow him must become servants of one another. We are called to follow Jesus by serving those whom we and whom he came to save. But when the call comes, we realize that few of us can do this. The daily calling of servanthood is one of the avenues that God has provided to help draw us out of the darkness into God's light. But in order to persevere along the tunnel of our own darkness, we need God's constant nurture and his constant forgiveness and the hope of light. On the night on which he was betrayed, Jesus provided the nurture. On the cross, he provided the forgiveness. And through the resurrection, he provided the light.
Let's stand and sing, "Come Just As You Are." Never the be seated.
Matthew 26, verses 26 to 29 read, "While they were eating, Jesus took the bread, and he broke it. And when he gave him thanks, he said to his disciples, 'Take and eat. This is my body.' Then he took the cup, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, 'Drink from it. This is the blood of the new covenant, which is poured out for many for the forgiveness of sins. I told you, I will not drink from this fruit of the vine from now on until that day when I drink it new with you in my Father's kingdom.'" Think about the emotion of the meal that night. Think about the emotions that were going through Jesus' mind as he enjoyed that last meal with his disciples. He knew what the days would bring. He knew what the hours that would follow would bring to him. But he also knew that he was having a meal with his family. So you can imagine there was joy. You can imagine there was celebration around the table that night. But he was preparing himself. He was preparing the disciples as well. So tonight, as we come to the table, whatever emotions that we bring to the table, we bring to God. Because this is his table. This is his body, broken for you. This is his blood poured out for you. And for that, we can give thanks. For that, we can celebrate. And as one of my church friends says, throw a little bit of a party. But for that, we also need to remember. Pray with me this evening. Our loving God and Father, we bless you that from the beginning of time, you have been calling your people out of the darkness of our human condition and into the light of your saving life. We bless you that Jesus entered our darkness and wore it as his garment. That he exchanged the beauty of the starry darkness for the coldness of the darkest death. We bless you in this bread and this cup that you are both calling us and enabling us to walk the path of your Son. We pray that you would consecrate this bread and this cup this evening, that in our partaking we would be filled with the life and light of Christ, that Christ's life would lighten our darkness, that Christ's blood would purify us and invigorate us to follow his example of loving service in the world. And all God's people said, amen. Christ's body was broken for you. Take and eat. The blood of Christ was poured out for you. Take and drink.
We're going to stay seated for this one. There is.
The arrest. Reading from Matthew chapter 26, verses 36 through 56. Then Jesus went with his disciples to a place called Gethsemane, and he said to them, "Sit here while I go over there and pray." He took Peter and the two sons of Zebedee along with him, and he began to be sorrowful and troubled. Then he said to them, "My soul is overwhelmed with sorrow to the point of death. Stay here and keep watch with me." Going a little farther, he fell with his face to the ground and prayed, "My Father, if it is possible, may this cup be taken from me. Yet not as I will, but as you will." Then he returned to his disciples and found them sleeping. "Could you men not keep watch with me for 1 hour?" he asked Peter. "Watch and pray so that you will not fall into temptation. The spirit is willing, but the body is weak." He went away a second time and prayed, "My Father, if it is not possible for this cup to be taken away unless I drink it, may your will be done." When he came back, he again found them sleeping because their eyes were heavy. So he left them and went away once more and prayed the third time, saying the exact same thing. Then he returned to the disciples and said to them, "Are you still sleeping and resting? Look, the hour is near, and the Son of Man is betrayed into the hands of sinners. Rise, let us go. Here comes my betrayer." While he was still speaking, Judas, one of the 12, arrived. With him was a large crowd armed with swords and clubs sent from the chief priests and the elders of the people. Now, the betrayer had arranged a signal with them. "The one I kiss is the man. Arrest him." Going at once to Jesus, Judas said, "Greetings, Rabbi." And he kissed him. Jesus replied, "Friend, do what you came for." Then the men stepped forward, seized Jesus, and arrested him. With that, one of Jesus' companions reached for a sword, drew it out, and struck the servant of the high priest, cutting off his ear. "Put your sword back in its place," Jesus said to him, "for all who draw the sword will die by the sword. Do you think I cannot call on my Father and he will at once put at my disposal more than 12 legions of angels? But how then would the scriptures be fulfilled that say it must happen in this way?" At that time, Jesus said to the crowd, "Am I leading a rebellion that you have come out with swords and clubs to capture me? Every day I sat in the temple courts teaching, and you did not arrest me. But this has all taken place that the writings of the prophets might be fulfilled."
Then all the disciples deserted him and they fled. The table is empty. The Last Supper meal is far in the past. The arrest has taken place. The light of the world sent by God has been taken. John chapter 9, verses 4 and 5 says, "As long as it is day, we must do the works of Him who sent me. Night is coming when no one can work. While I am in the world, I am the light of the world." The light was taken, but He will return on Resurrection Sunday. Until then, we await the light.